Alrighty. Well, I will have you know, I'm very excited to be here with you guys. Very honored to be able to fill the pulpit for Pastor. I will have you know, I'm also very nervous. So if I pass out, just let me stay there. I have been known to pass out in a church service before for you that have been here. But I remember something you don't forget when it happens. Although, if I'm being completely honest with you, whenever Pastor asked me to preach, text me on Tuesday afternoon, and I told him, I'd love to. I'd be honored. It's like, yeah, I'd love to be able to fill the pulpit for Pastor. But I was thinking about that, and I was like, how long has it been since I've been able to preach a message? I was talking to Miss Debbie and Miss Gray about this. I think it has been 3 or 4 years, and that was in a school chapel, and so it might be a little rusty, but that is okay. Pastor asked me, and he asked me on Tuesday, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Tuesday evening, nothing really came to mind what to preach. I was like, it's okay. I've got till Sunday evening to find out what I'm going to preach. So Tuesday evening went by, nothing. Wednesday morning came along. It's like, okay, well, what am I going to preach? Maybe God will show me something in my devotions, something like that. Nothing. I was like, that's okay. Got till Sunday. Wednesday evening, I was like, maybe Reese will say something when he's talking to the youth that I can use and build off of. Wednesday evening came by and nothing came to mind. And I'm like, God, Sunday's coming. I need something to preach on. I need to study. I need this to be a good message. Wednesday evening goes by, nothing. Thursday morning, nothing. And I was talking to one of my coworkers at work. It's like, I don't have time. It's like, I've got A, B, C, I've got X, Y, Z, I've got L, M, N, O, P to do. I don't have time to prepare this message. It's Thursday. And she's like, well, do it on that. I was like, on what? She's like, on time. Do it on some about time, waiting on God. I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do it on. It's like, thank you, you just got my message together for me. So Thursday at work, I'm in the back greenhouses, tending to some plants, watering, things like that. I was like, okay, some about time, what am I going to do? I'm going to do how to spend your time, what to do with time, how to serve God with your time, yada, yada, yada. Thursday evening comes along, and God's like, Austin, you're not preaching on that. Like, okay, I'm not preaching on that. Friday morning came along, nothing. And I'm like, God, Sunday is right around the corner. I've got 2 days to get a message together. What do you want me to preach? I'm kind of freaking out here. And I was talking to that same coworker again on Friday, and she said something. It's so simple, but I never thought about it. She said, if you've got time to worry about it, you've got the time to pray about it. And that stuck with me. That's not what I'm preaching on, but that stuck with me. Friday at work, I was praying all day. It's like, God, whatever you have me to preach, just let it be made clear to me. Give me the words to say. Let it be a blessing to your people. And Friday evening, God kept bringing me back to the book of John. Nothing in particular in the book of John, but Friday evening, I probably read the book of John 3-4 times. I was like, okay, something in the book of John. I feel like, you know, it's a great book. It's one of my favorite gospels. There's a lot of places you can build a message off the book of John. And after a while, he didn't really even direct me to one spot until Friday afternoon, Saturday morning. And so I'm not as well prepared as I'd like to be, but I feel this is what the Lord has for us today. So a fair warning, we are going to be in pretty much the entire last half book of John. We are going to be in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, and 20. I'm not going to preach from all that because I'm not going to pull a pastor here tonight, but we will be referencing that. Our main passage of scripture is going to be in John chapter 16. So I want to start out in John chapter 13. And these chapters before chapter 16 is going to give us a base to build off of for the sermon. So John chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse 33 through 35. If you guys are taking notes and you like to put a title with the message, I don't really do that or anything. But if you are, the message tonight is a little while. A little while of time that we don't see God. And I know what you're thinking. God said he'll never leave us or forsake us. But what is this little while where we don't see God? But we're going to build up to that in chapter 16. But if you're there in chapter 13 of John, say amen. Amen. If not, say oh me. Okay, it looks like we're all there. Well, John chapter 13, verse 33 to 35. Jesus says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Let's go over the John chapter 14, verse 1. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then in chapter 15, we are going to be in verse 4. The Bible says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. We're going to stay in chapter 15, but going down to verse 18, the Bible says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And then on to chapter 16, in John chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And as I was preparing for this evening, and as I was going over these passages of Scripture, none of these five passages of Scripture that we just read really has anything to do with each other. John chapter 13, Jesus is telling his disciples, I am leaving you, and I'm also leaving you this new commandment that you love one another. Chapter 14 is encouragement. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Chapter 15, verse 4, he's telling them, abide in me, remain in me, I'm the true vine. And then verse 18 of chapter 15, it's a warning that they're going to hate you. Chapter 16, he's telling them not to be offended by these things. And as I was reading this, none of this really ties together at first in any sense of the imagination. None of those things all have to do with a little while of time not really seeing God. But it's going to tie to our main passage of Scripture, John 16, 16. But before we dive in, let's pray, ask the Lord to speak to us today, to open our hearts, and to get something from us. Lord, as we come to you now, I want to thank you for this time that we get to spend in your word. Thank you for your word, sir. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for what's in it. It's everything you know. It's not everything you want us to know. The Bible that we have, it's in order spiritually, not chronologically. But I thank you for this book. Lord, I thank you for this church that we're in today. Thank you for the church family, the past you've given us. Thank you for this building. Thank you for being who you are and providing for us. Lord, please use this time now to speak to your people, to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're leading into John chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says, a little while. We see that little while again. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So that's going to be our main passage of Scripture. But first, I want to get into the mindset of Jesus and the disciples. So if we go back to chapter 13, we are going to get into the mindset of our Savior and his disciples, because we really have to get in that mindset to get what the Lord has for us today. So back in chapter 13, he is telling his disciples, I am going away. There is coming a time, and I am not going to be here with you. We come into chapter 14. He tells them the Comforter is going to come. Dawson, that is not the Comforter that you wrap yourself up in every night and go to bed. Okay? Just so we're clear, that's not the same Comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit that's coming, but it's not come yet. It is coming once he goes away. In chapter 14, he's also telling them to abide and remain in him. Chapter 15, he changes gears completely again. He's talking about the warning, you know, they're going to hate you. And then he's telling them, don't be offended. And so the disciples, I can only imagine at this point, they can't really wrap their head exactly around what Jesus is saying. He's saying, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot abide except in the true vine, yada, yada, yada. I know I'm butchering it. But, you know, he's telling them to abide and remain in him, But at the same time, Jesus is telling them, I'm going away and I'm not going to be here. God is telling them this encouragement, let not your hearts be troubled. But at the same time, he's telling them, they're going to hate you. They're going to kill you. And so the disciples at this point are very confused. He's telling them one thing and he's telling them another thing, and they cannot wrap their head around this, which we'll see later on in the scripture. So he starts talking about this abiding in me and I in you. And so he's talking about this abiding and he's going away. The disciples can't wrap their heads around this. And so we come down to chapter 16, which is where we're going to spend most of the time. And at the beginning of chapter 16, he says, these things. What things would that be? Well, chapters 13, 14, and 15. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. So we see the reason that Jesus is telling them these things, so that they're not offended. That is the one fact, that is the one reason that Jesus is telling them these things, so that they're not offended. He's telling them in advance, I'm not going to always be with you. And when that time comes, I don't want you to be offended, because I will not be there with you. There is coming a time when he is not going to be with the disciples. The disciples aren't going to see him. And it's that time that we're going to preach on tonight. It is only 6:22, and I don't have a lot to preach on, so like Reese did this morning, we're going to give Pastor a run for his money, and we're going to see how it goes. But like I said, I just pray that it's going to speak to one person here today. So when he says these things, talking about chapters 13, 14, and 15, he's telling them so they're not offended. But then we come to verse 2 of chapter 16. And he says that they're going to put you out of the synagogues. Let's read it word for word just so I don't screw it up anymore. So John chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2 again. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will thinketh that he doeth God service. So at this point, if we're in the mindset of the disciples, I would want to take a step back and say, God, hey, what is going on? You're giving us this encouragement, and now you're saying that they're going to kick us out of the synagogues, and they're going to kill us. And while they're killing us, they're going to think that they doeth God a service. What do you think the disciples is going through their mind right now? They are so confused, and they cannot wrap their mind around what Jesus is telling them right now. But Jesus knows that they will understand after that little while has passed. So he's telling them all this so that they're not offended. This is what he needs to know. I don't want you to be offended. I'm leaving. Abide in me. But they're going to kill you. That's not very encouraging compared to what we see in chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You know, we live in a society where we are just wrapped up in this fear. You know, if COVID showed us anything, it is that people are afraid to die. They don't know what the future will hold for them. They don't know about eternity. And that's one thing that's taught us, that people are scared to die. So he's telling them, let not your hearts be troubled, but you're going to die. And so that is even more confusing for the disciples. But let's go ahead and get to chapter 16, verse 16. The Bible says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. What he's telling them in this passage is simply this. There is coming a time. He's telling them this in the upper room. There is coming a time in the next couple hours. This time is getting really close, and you're not going to see me. And then there is going to be this time, and you're going to see me again. But the time that you see me now, the time that you see me again, there is going to be this little while time. And he keeps using this phrase over and over, in a little while. Here, in just a little bit, you're not going to see me. And that is what we're talking about. It is this little while time that we spend where we don't see Jesus. Because as Christians, we can get wrapped up in a mindset that Jesus is always going to be providing every little thing we need. He has given me this new job. He's given me this promotion. He's given me a truck. He's given me this and that. He's providing everything I need. And it is going to be smooth sailing from here on out in the Christian life. Once we get on that mountaintop, there's no coming down from that mountaintop. We can get in this mindset that everything is going to be okay in the will of God. Nothing is going to go wrong. And with God, it will be okay. But we might not see him in our situation. He's going to be there with you through the storm, but through our worldly eyes, what we see, we might not see him. Does that make sense to y'all? So he's going to be there with us, but we might not see him. And so the disciples at this point, before chapters 13, God is performing all these miracles. He's healing the blind. He's making the lame to walk again. He's pulling taxes out of the fish's mouth. He's feeding the 5,000. And everything is going hunky-dory for the disciples until chapter 18. And in chapter 18, a plug is pulled. Chapter 18 was not in the disciples' game plan. They did not see chapters 18 and 19 happening. Whenever Jesus said, I'm going to be gone this little while, they did not expect it to come right then. They did not see chapter 18 and 19 in their game plan. But isn't it just like man to think it's not going to happen in our day? The disciples, Jesus told them, I'm telling you I'm going away so that you're not offended. But the disciples were thinking, it's not going to happen right now. We got time. You know, we live in a world. If a worldwide pandemic is coming, it's not going to be in our time. If judgment is coming, it's not going to be in our time. We look back at the pandemic, and I don't think any of us saw exactly what was going to happen was coming. We look back and we say, those people with the swine flu, they were a bunch of heathens and they deserved that. But we are too good to have something like that happen to us. We are not going to see a worldwide pandemic in our time. We are not going to see the judgment day in our time. America is not bad enough yet. This has to happen. This has to happen. There's a timeline that has to happen. Jesus isn't coming yet. And we can get in that mindset, this earthly mindset, that it's not going to happen in our day. And that's what the disciples were thinking. And Jesus told them. Jesus knew that day was coming. He knew it was coming soon. And he tried to tell them, but they couldn't wrap their head around it. Let me tell you this. God knows exactly when we need that little bit of time. He places it at the exact right moment in our lives where we don't see him. Not saying he's not there, but we don't see him. He doesn't say he won't be there, but like I said, through our earthly minds and our worldview, we can't see him in the storm. He's there with us, but we don't see him. We look at the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, one of my favorite stories. Thought about preaching on that, but not what God had for us. I love the story of Joseph. Joseph was part of this big family. We all know the story of him. Had 12 older brothers. They sold him into slavery. He is taken from his homeland down to Egypt, sold again in the Potiphar's house. In Potiphar's house, everything doesn't go well. He's cast in the prison. In the prison, he meets a baker and a butler. He tells him, once you get out, tell Pharaoh about me. Butler and baker gets out. They forget about Joseph. Joseph is left in prison. He is having this little while. And even though he stayed true to God and he trusted in God, he was in that little while time where he might not have seen what God was doing. He's thinking, God, I'm in prison. What are you doing? God, I was sold into slavery. What are you doing? He didn't give up on God, but he didn't see how God was working in his situation. But God knew at the end he was going to come out on top and second in command of Egypt. We look at Abraham and Isaac. God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. His only son that God promised he would make a great nation out of. Abraham did not see what God was doing. God knew what he was doing. He had to test Abraham so he knew how much faith he had in God when Abraham didn't know himself. God knows what he's doing through that little while time, but we don't see God. We look at Job. We look at Jonah. We look at Daniel in the lion's den. All these people go through that little while time where God is with them, but they can't see him. They can't see what he's doing. They can't feel him. And the disciples get to this point. And we can get to this point too, where everything's fine, but God knows a chapter 18 is coming in our life. He knows chapter 19 is coming in our life, and that plug's going to be pulled, and everything is not going to be okay. We look at this and we go, God, why are you doing this to me? This isn't on my agenda. I don't have time for this. I can't lose my job right now. God, why did you take that family member away from me? And we can get in that mindset where we don't see God in that little while. But what I want to look at is how we respond to that little while. We're going to hop over to, in chapter 16, I want to read verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. The Bible tells us, "Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is it that ye said unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith." So there we see the disciples are confused. That tells us right there, the disciples do not know what's going on. Verse 19. "Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? And this is what I want us to see in verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." So God's telling them, in this little while, the world is going to rejoice. They're going to have themselves a heyday. The disciples, on the other hand, are going to sorrow and lament. Jesus knew the disciples were committed. Jesus said unto them, "I'm going to be gone this little while, and a little while again you'll see me." And it's during this little while and how we handle this little while that is the qualifier of the believer. Because in verse 20, Jesus says, "The world shall rejoice, and ye shall sorrow." And those are the two indicators that are the qualifier of the believer. And it's how we handle this little while. Because is it going to be sorrow that fills our heart? Or are we going to be okay with it in that little while? The factor of it is how close we are to the world, I feel. So many times we eat off the husk of the world and we don't see what Jesus has to offer us truly. Are there some people in your life that you wish would go away? I mean, somebody comes up to you and they're like, "I'm leaving, I'm never coming back. You ain't ever going to see me again." And at first you're like, I'm sorry, and we'll see you. They go out the door and you're like, "Yes, let's go, they're gone, okay." And then there's some people, you never see them again. And do you have that sorrow in your heart? Like, man, I miss brother so-and-so, I miss this lady in the church. When Jesus doesn't speak to you, are you okay with it? Or how much sorrow does that bring you in that little while? Here's an example I thought of whenever I was studying this last night. If you come to church, it's in the same spot every Sunday, you can start to feel this complacency. Same thing, get in a routine of church. Same thing over and over. We come, we sing songs, we hear a message, we have an altar call, we're dismissed. Next week again, same thing. Next week, same thing. We can get this feeling of complacency. And God will begin not to talk to us. We won't see him. And how much are we okay with that? Or how much sorrow does that bring us? Whenever I was studying this, it kind of hit me. It's like, God, when I don't see you, God, when I don't hear from you, God, whenever I don't get something from the message, whenever I don't see you in my life, whenever I don't feel you there, I want to be filled with this sorrow of, God, where are you at in my life? I don't want to be okay with that. Thought about sharing this. Most of you know, most of you, not all of you, my life last fall and winter wasn't the best. I was pretty miserable, to say the least. I stopped coming to church. I took this book. I closed it and I left it there. I didn't touch it. I stopped listening to Christian music. I stopped listening and hanging out with Christian influences. And I had stopped coming to church. And I remember during that time, I got a text from pastor saying, hey, we miss you, man. You okay? I remember Miss Lopez texting me saying, hey, you know, haven't seen you in a while. Everything okay? I remember telling them, yeah, I'm fine. I'm great. I am just done with the Jesus thing for now. I was done with it. I stopped coming to church. I wasn't in the Bible. And in that time, I was miserable. But it was the love for God that I had that drew me back. I had missed being in the Word. I had missed being with believers at church. I had missed the messages. I had missed all of that. And that's what brought me back. And I think the number one qualifier for a believer is, how long can you go with this, without this? How long can it sit there and collect dust and we be okay with it? How long can it sit there, we don't listen to God, we don't talk to Him, He's not talking to us, we just go to church to go to church? And how long can we live like that and it be okay? How long can we go and it doesn't bother us at all? We see the story of a guy in the Bible named Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of my favorite people. Jeremiah said, I am done with you. You deceived me. And he put that Bible down. Well, he didn't have a Bible in the Old Testament. But he said, God, I am done with you. I'm done. You deceived me. He went one day, he went 2 days. And after that second day, he said, it is like a burning fire in my bones. And he could not go without it. How long can you go without hearing from God and be okay with it? Or think about this on the flip side. How long can you go and your love for God just grow and that commitment just grow? I know that doesn't really make sense. But whenever I was coming to the end of, I guess, that period in my life, I started to want to get back in church. It was that love that drove me back. And at the end of that, I can say that my love for Christ truly grew and my commitment towards Him, and that is what brought me back. We see the disciples. Everything's going okay. That little while happens. How did the disciples handle that little while? They fled and forsook in that little while. Now, before we go starting pointing fingers and bad-mouthing the disciples, you got to remember, those same disciples that fled and forsook Him, it was their love for Christ after that little while that brought them back. And if we fast forward to the resurrection, we see Mary and Martha going to the tomb. They bring spices and anoint the body of Jesus. They get there and they're like, oh, He's not there. Okay. Go back to the disciples. He's not there. And the disciples are like, okay. No. The disciples, once they heard that Jesus wasn't there, they got up and they ran to see the tomb. They wanted to know what was going on. That love for Christ brought them back. And that love for Christ was the driving force of the early church. That is why we are here today, because the love for the disciples brought them back. So the disciples fled and forsook Jesus during that little while, but it was love that came back. We've all seen people that's gone through that little while. That little while in somebody's life can be hard. When they don't see Jesus, that can be hard on them. Their life can be in ruins. Their life can be crumbled to the ground. The water's muddy. Their head is spinning. Upside is right side up. Right side up is left side down. Whatever it is, they don't know what's going on in their life. That little while can be hard. So before we go and start putting fingers at them saying, I knew they were never really about that Jesus thing. I knew that love for Christ was never really there in that person. During that time, whenever somebody would look at me, they're like, I knew that guy was never going to make it in his Christian life. That hurts. When somebody is going through that little while, pointing a finger at them, talking behind their back, that hurts. Instead of pointing a finger, why don't we get behind those people and love and encourage them? Right. It's not our place to judge anyway. So why don't we just get behind them and encourage them? So the disciples were afraid and fled. And sometimes in somebody's life when that little while happens and they're not in church, we don't see them living the Christian life, doesn't mean that they're gone. They're in that little while where they don't see God. And let me say this. Sometimes what they do in that little while can be done completely out of fear. They don't know what's going on. They don't know why God took that loved one. They don't know why they lost that job. They don't know what's going on themselves in that little while. And so what they do, they can act out of fear like the disciples did. But we can't lose hope for those people, because back in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, everything was okay until that little while. Chapter 18 came, chapter 19 came, but chapter 20 is coming. And on the other side of the resurrection, Jesus showed himself strong to his children. And on the other side of our little while, Jesus will show himself strong to us. Because nobody can love that deeply without returning to that same love. I thought of this quote. I think it's pretty cool. It's not entirely mine, though. To the same degree that you love is to the same degree of sorrow that might not be there. Does that make sense? To the same degree that we have love is to the same degree that we can sorrow that we might not see. But it's in that time where God is testing our love and our commitment towards him, or we can find the lack thereof in that little while. Some people, after that little while, they went through a storm in life, and Jesus was waiting for them on the other side. Jesus was always with them in that little while. But they come out of the storm, and they look at Jesus, and they said, "You did that to me. I'm not coming back." They come to the other side, and they're like, "Why would you do that to me? Why would you take this person from me? I didn't deserve that, but you did that to me." And sometimes we see the lack thereof of love and commitment after that little while. And that can be a hard thing when we see someone that really has fallen away. You know, that can be hard. But we also have to remember that if there was that love, they will come back. Well, it is only 6:42, and I got a few more minutes, but I feel like wrapping it up. So I want to end with this thought. This little while will qualify who you are. And remember, if you can't see him now, Jesus said, "You will see me again on the other side of the resurrection." He told his disciples, "There's going to be this little while, but you will see me again on the other side of the resurrection." And Jesus will show himself strong to his children on the other side of the little while. So let me ask you this in closing. Are you in that little while right now? Because that can be hard. I haven't gone through half of what you guys have gone. But I know for myself, that little while can be hard. But let me tell you this. Remember what I said earlier. Not seeing Christ is a short-term experience. And he's there for you in that little while. We just might not see him in our situation. But we will see him again on the other side of the storm. Did you go through that little while? And you got bitter at God in that little while? And you came out and you said, "No, I'm done with it. I don't want that anymore." I hear a lot of people say, "God will meet you halfway." And I to be honest, I don't really like that saying, because God goes a lot longer than halfway.
Right.
He comes all the way to you, and all you have to do is take that first step back to him. Nobody can make you take that first step back to him. That has got to be something you want. That has got to be that love and commitment for Christ. I wish I could make that decision for you, but I can't. But after you make that first step, Jesus is right there for you. He's always been there, and he's waiting. Last thing, are you judging someone in that little while? Because that can be hard on someone. Just because they might not be in church, just because they might not be living the Christian life, doesn't mean that they're gone. They might be going through that little while. They might be going through that storm in the life. The last thing they need is someone pointing a finger at them. This is something that's really spoke to me. You know, in that little while, all they need is some encouragement, some love, someone to get behind them and say, "Praying for you." Someone to get behind them and say, "We miss you. We love you." And you know, whenever that little while's over, that love will draw them back to God. But let's not judge them in that little while. So, like I said, I hope this was something that helped you guys. I don't feel prepared as I should be, but I do feel like that was what the Lord had for us. And so that is all I've got for you.